Would you remain standing, please, and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, this marvelous text designed to assist us by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul, not only the church at Corinth, but to assist us in coming to the Lord's Supper. There is a note sheet that's there, and I do invite you back tonight. We'll conclude the Lord's Day in worship, folks. It's just so wonderful to do that. I hope and pray the Lord's Day evening worship is becoming a real habit for you and your family. We're studying the Apostles' Creed. We'll be back at the Lord's Prayer after the missions conference, but we're doing the Apostles' Creed. If I could disciple you one-on-one or in a small group, everything I would want to teach you must be built upon the basic principles of the Christian life found in the Apostles' Creed. You can't build your Christian life as husbands and wives and parents out here learning techniques. You got to build it on sound doctrine, and that is fundamental sound doctrine. That's the first layer in your Christian life. So join us in this study. And in fact, if you've been somewhat challenged in these recent weeks concerning these constant shootings on college campuses and in malls, the answer I'll give you tonight. Why is that happening in our society? I'll share that with you tonight in our study of the Apostles' Creed. Look forward to being with you. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I need this, and I can't look with you. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Grass withers and the flower fades. This is the word of our God. It abides forever. Please be seated. This has been a great week. I've anticipated this week, and it's been a great week for me. This is a great week. Harry, why is this a great week? Why do you think I think this is a great week? You're right. It's my birthday yesterday. I was 49 again. Missions conference coming up. I love this week in our life of our church. I hope and pray you've set it aside. This is great time to see what God's doing in us and through us for world evangelism and hastening the coming of the Lord, fulfilling the Great Commission. It was a great week because here's the big reason. Pitchers and catchers reported for spring training. Big week. Praise the Lord. Spring is here. Forget the groundhog. Spring is here. And also, of course, the Lord's Supper. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to do something from God's Word to help us as we come to the Lord's Supper. We celebrate it 10 times a year here at Briarwood. And what is it as we come to the Lord's Supper, what is it that can make this for the better and not for the worse in our life? So I thought the best way for me to do this is to take you back to my childhood in the fifth grade when I was sitting in class at Midwood School and Miss Wilson, my teacher, said, "Ike Reeder," that was my name, nickname, "Ike Reeder and David Cannon, come to the front." Oh, mercy. I didn't know what that was. I just figured I was in trouble. But When I got to the front, she said, "You have been nominated and appointed by me to be the two young men who are going to be our safety patrol." And so I got to do the safety patrol. That means I got a white, anybody remember this? That's when you had neighborhood schools and everybody walked to school, and so I was a safety patrol, and you got a white belt that you wore that went around you this way, and a badge, and your own flag. It was about this long, it was on a stick, and you always tried to find creative ways to roll it up so that your flag was different than everybody else. Red flag, there's not much you can do with it. And then Captain Livingston came in to train us. And I can still remember that Saturday morning training when he said, "Now, this is the most important thing, is that when you are a safety patrol and you go to your corner," my corner was Commonwealth Avenue and the plaza. And right there, that I pass that corner when I go back to Charlotte. When I go back to Charlotte, pass that corner, I just wonder why more students weren't killed when I was a safety patrol guy. But he said, "Now, here's what you do. The first thing you do when they get there is you stop, you look, and then you listen." And then he trained us. He said, "You stop them, stop yourself, you look to your left, you look to your right, and because you're not very smart or quick, that means somebody might have come back on the other side. So look back to your left, and then you step out and hold the flag so they could cross over. Stop, look, and listen." He said, "If you forget, just look at the railroad signs. They'll tell you that. Stop, look, and listen." Well, that's the way you come to the Lord's Supper. Stop. Pause. Prioritize the Lord's Supper in your life. And then look. And then listen. Listen in prayer. But before I get to the three prayers you listen with, let's talk about how you look first from this text. When you come to the Lord's Supper, so that by this designed instrument by God to assist you in your Christian life, how can it be profitable? There's five ways you need to look. Well, let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, when you come to the Lord's Supper, look, stop, and look backwards. Remember the body and blood of the Lord. Look back to the cross. It's so easy in our Christian life to shift from living our life for our Savior to thinking it's the way I live my life that saves me. So this tells you, quit looking to what you do for your salvation. Oh, do what you do, but you do that for your Savior. So I want to recalibrate you. I want to get you back. I want to fix your eyes on Jesus. So isn't it wonderful the way the Lord's Supper matches good preaching? What does good preaching do? No matter what the topic, no matter what the text, its sum and its substance and its circumference is Christ and Him crucified. What does the table bring us to? The body and the blood of the Lord. Focus on Jesus and what He did at the cross. Look backwards. You live your life forward by anchoring it backwards at the cross. Number two, not only look backwards, but secondly, look inward. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Lord, where am I in my walk with You? Where am I in my ministry? I've got a spiritual gift. Am I using my spiritual gift? Is my spiritual gift being used the way it should be? Where am I in my relationship with You and my walk with You? Where am I in my relationship with You among Your people? And where am I in the cause of world evangelism and evangelizing in my community? Where am I? So you examine yourself. Look inward. Number three. Look outward in your relationships in the body. It says you are to discern the body. What is your relation? In fact, in this particular case, people were actually using the Lord's Supper to shame others by bringing all of their food before they had the bread and the wine. They would all get together with a, now it wasn't a potluck supper. That's, you know, you don't do potluck suppers. It's a pot providence supper is what it is. And they'd all bring their things together and they would have their feast. And when they had their feast, they would then finish it, the agape feast, with the bread and the wine and the supper of the Lord. And many people were bringing all of their stuff and they wouldn't let share it with anybody. And they were showing off what they had while some had nothing. Their relationships in the body. He said, we've got one cup. We're one body. And this ought to be a celebration of our unity in relationships in Christ. So you look backwards to the cross. You look upward. You look inward in your walk with the Lord. You look outward in your relationships. Fourthly, look. Here's the fourth place to look. Look forward. He says, you eat and drink this cup. You eat this bread and drink the cup. You proclaim the Lord's death till when? Until he comes. So this reminds me, Christ has been crucified. He is risen. He is ascended. He will come again. So I'm always looking forward. And now I know I'm being reminded, if I'm a Christian, my best days are always in front of me, never behind me. Always in front of me. And the greatest of all of those days is yet in front of me. The day of the Lord, when I am gathered up to be with him in a new heavens and a new earth. So I look backward to the cross. There's my anchor. There's my salvation. And there's where my Savior redeemed me. I look inward in my walk with the Lord, my Savior, so that I can deal with my sins and be challenged to how I ought to walk with him. I look outward in my relationships with his people. I look forward to his coming. And number five, I look upward to give praise to God who gave his Son for me. As we just sung, the darling, the precious, glorious jewel of heaven, the Son of God, has come into this world and gave himself for me that I might have everlasting life. Me, in the midst of all of my sin, he has provided an atonement that pays for all of my sins. And he has provided a righteousness that takes me from here all the way to glory and heaven. And so I want to worship him. I want to praise him. I want to exalt him with all of my heart and soul. Stop. Look backwards, inward, outward, forward, upward. Now, listen in prayer. To do these looks and gain from it, as I come to the Lord's Supper, I need to be engaged in prayer. I would suggest to accomplish those five looks, there are three prayers as you come to the table. The first prayer is a prayer of judgment. First prayer is a prayer of judgment and discernment. Harry, now judgment, doesn't the Bible say I'm not supposed to judge? No, I'm not supposed to judge other people's heart in their relationship with the Lord as if I know their heart. But the passage does tell me if we judged ourselves, I am to make some judgments on myself. Where am I in my walk with the Lord, my trust in the Lord, my living with the Lord? So my first prayers are one of judgment and, Lord, help me discern. Help me make judgments concerning my walk with you, my relationship with you, my relationship with your people. Am I embracing my responsibilities as a man of God, as a husband, as a woman of God, as a wife, as a father, as a mother? Am I embracing my responsibilities, fulfilling my covenant vows of prioritizing the worship of God, being involved among the people of God? And am I with the people of God reaching into my neighborhood and my community? Lord, how is my walk with you? Help me, God. Help me to make prayers of judgment. Give me judgment day honesty. Let me see myself as you see me so that I know the fullness of my salvation and I know where I need to go. Folks, you can't move forward till you make an honest assessment of where you are now. God, help me see. Give me the ability to make the right judgments on where I am in my relationship with you and embracing my responsibilities to follow you. Now, once you do that, We all fall short. So the second prayer is one of confession and repentance, where we confess our sins and repent of our sins. Confession and repentance. Recently, I noted that a broadcast journalist made some comments that was declared inappropriate. And he was suspended, and then he was required to give an apology. And as he did, this was his apology. And I've got it pretty much what he said. He said, for any of you who were offended by my remarks, I want to say to you, I am sorry that my remarks became offensive to you. Now, folks, you can't get much further from a confession than that. There's no repentance there at all. Let me tell you what that's really saying. You Neanderthals out there, if what I said that was really so insightful, cute, and wonderful, if it offended you, then I'm just going to be so big as to say I'm sorry. But really, the problem's all with you. You know, sometimes I see Christians embracing confession like that with God. You know, God, I've been doing this, and man, everybody ought to understand why I've done what I've done and hadn't done what I've done. But God, you know, if this has offended you, would you forgive me? Now, read Psalm 51. Oh, God, I have sinned against you. When the prayer of confession and repentance is full embracing of one's responsibility, I have sinned. Were there factors surrounding my sin? Absolutely. But I sinned. Oh, God, I own my sin before you. Now I own your Savior for me. And I trust in him. Forgive me of my sins and renew me so that I'm not only forgiven, but begin that glorious work to change me. Repentance, confession and repentance. Thirdly and finally, is the prayer of consecration and celebration. A prayer of consecration and celebration. Lord, I'm refreshed. I'm renewed. I've sat at the meal with you. I've looked back. I've looked in. I've looked out. I've looked forward. I've looked up. Lord, I have met with you. I've stopped. I've looked. I've listened. You've done a great work. I know I'm forgiven. I know your grace is greater than my sin. I know you're changing me. I know even at this table you're working in my life to move me from faith to faith and obedience to obedience, and that I might even have from this day new obedience in Jesus Christ. So God, I want to celebrate you. You are so glorious, gracious, and transforming. My Redeemer. So it's a prayer of celebration and consecration. Last week, a black limousine pulled up in front of my house. Two men got out in suits with sunglasses, and they walked up to the door. They knocked on the door, and they said, is this your birthday this week? And I said, yes. They said, well, we have something to give to you. And they hand me a hand-engraved, personally signed invitation to a formal luncheon at the White House to eat with President George Bush. Do you know what I did next? I woke up. But I tell you today, the King has sent an invitation to you. It's engraved with his blood. And he says, come, I have earnestly desired to eat this meal with you. Father, thank you for the moments we can be together. Would you minister to our hearts as we minister praise to you? Send grace down that praise may rise up. Send grace down that we may look back to the cross and know our Redeemer. Look inward in the progress that you're making in our life and our desire to keep growing. Look outward in our relationships with one another. Look forward to the coming of our Redeemer. Oh, come, Jesus. And then, Father, look upward in praise to you. We come and meet with you now. In Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen.